Hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So I will make this announcement here at the beginning that here's hoping I at least do it correctly. We'll see. But trying to incorporate some podcasting 2.0 features, being the, I guess it's more or less the chapters, so that way there can be a changing of the artwork if you're using a new podcast app. Go to modernpodcastapps.com, go there, find yourself something. I know Apple users really appreciate Cast-O-Matic. I use Fountain. Fountain's a good way to get at least the wallet connected so you can do the boostograms and whatnot. But it's not required. It's not required for listening to this episode or to fully take in this episode. It's merely just a bonus feature. I'm going to have a slideshow going along with this one. Because the other week, it was one of the books that I tore through, just kind of was intrigued by Peter Zeihan's The Accidental Superpower, 10 Years After. And one of the things he talks about in that book is the development, the creation of different societies within, around the world, really. Because I've sat here, my entire life, kind of, with the awe, the inspiration of where cultures kind of come from. Being here as an American, you know, we've got the American culture. You just go out, you buy everything. If it's broken, you hit it with a hammer, and it is what it is. You know, gluttony and vanity, you know, seven deadly sins is kind of the natural way of being an American. But kind of where does culture come from? It comes from borders over there, over yonder. Americans don't necessarily have a specific culture of their own. We're a melting pot. Everybody comes here, hangs out, chips in a little bit of their culture. We accept a little bit of it, and we throw out the parts we don't like and end up with some phenomenal food. Different traditions kind of meshing and melding together. And again, creating something beautiful. And then at the same time, we sit there or sit here in our nice lazy boy armchairs on Monday mornings. We got all the time in the world to quarterback of what's going on in the world, what's wrong. Sitting there going, why can't these people think straight? We need to think how us Americans think. Us Americans, we rule the world. We know what's right. We know what's going on. And it's not. Everybody's different. You know, it's easy enough to sit there and look at different upbringings. You know, someone raised in Florida is not going to be the same as someone raised in Arizona or New York, necessarily. Weather and stuff like that has a big impact. Your neighbors, the neighborhood that you grow in. Just because you're from Florida doesn't mean you're from the same part of Florida as Miami compared to Tallahassee. You could be in the very southwestern corner of Colorado where it's desert, or the very northeast corner where it's mountains and it's cold. It creates two very different types of people. But as Americans, we're kind of spoiled. Get it kind of lucky because we've got so much landmass that kind of, however you want to describe how we acquired it. We're putting it to good use for the most part, I believe, I hope. Kind of rough on the cities, but in general, I think we're doing okay, taking care of things. But things like the Rio down at the southern border of Texas, nice easy way to kind of show the delineation between the United States and Mexico. Up in the New England states northeast, there's a big old river that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head that separates the northeastern states from Canada, make it a nice easy border. And then for the rest of the border, it was just drawn with a line on the map, make it easy, all janky. Because I also remember as a kid looking at the states of, you know, specifically Tennessee and Ohio and Kentucky, and then looking at the states out west, wondering why some of these states are all squiggly lined and bordered like they are. And, you know, the eastern part of Tennessee, that squiggly line on the eastern side is the peaks of the mountains of the Great Smokies, the Appalachian chain. They chose some series of peaks, and that was the delineation between North Carolina and Tennessee. In the western part of the state, the squiggliness of that is done by the Mississippi River. Ohio and Kentucky have their border because of the Ohio River. Nice, natural, simple enough borders. And so as I was going through, looking at a topographical map just to educate myself just a little bit more, you started being able to see the differences between different areas and why they are kind of sectioned off how they are. But you never really think about it. It never comes across to you, at least for my day and age. We just had the flat maps with all of the different countries labeled as different colors. And the borders were just kind of the borders. Everything was kind of what it was. But when you start looking at things like mountain ranges, deserts, sadly none of the maps that I've included have the rivers of the world, but mountain ranges and deserts are easy enough ones to pick up on and see to show why certain areas are kind of how they became countries of their own. Countries become countries because the people in charge, the people who obtain authority, find that way, that means of being able to control the people by making sure that food and water is readily available. There's a sense of protection or a sense of control. Do as we say and everything will be A-okay. And certain people not wanting to venture off outside of the places that they're comfortable. If you enjoy Florida, why would you want to move to Alaska outside of a change of scenery? But again, things like mountain ranges really make things stand out. I guess another thing that kind of clicked home with me was watching Twin Peaks the other day, watching through that again. And Dale Cooper mentions the, I want to call it a country, the area of Tibet. It was a big thing when I was a kid, didn't understand anything about it. I guess I've got something to look into, so I'm educating myself. But Tibet, the southwest corner of China, and you sit there and you look at China, it's just some giant shape on a map. Why is it that shape? Who knows? But again, you start looking at the topographical features of everything, and you start to understand why China's southwest border, where it connects with India, has that shape. It's the ridge of the mountain lines that more or less force or create that. And Tibet, being that southwest corner, is more or less just that giant mountain range. China has been able to claim control of it, tax those citizens, because India doesn't want to deal with it. India's got their own little kind of deal. Another thing that I learned about that amazed me, things that, again, you don't think about, was the major rivers within Europe cutting through the mountains. Let me bounce around some more. The top of the hat of Italy, the kind of broccoli-looking shape of it. It's the Alps. I guess that kind of makes sense when you look at it. And again, you see the realization of the shape of everything. It kind of pulls it apart, creates it. Spain to the north of Spain to the south of France. Plateau, more or less, an elevation change. Portugal doesn't make any sense as far as the topographical map that I've got, but broke away from Spain. They said, leave us alone. We're ours. But the rivers in Europe, creating cut-throughs and whatnot, helping form and influence different areas and regions, creating that point where everybody leans on each other. Whether or not you became a really good shipbuilder or just a mediocre shipbuilder, it's kind of why Britain was such a great naval power. They're stuck on an island. And if you want to leave the island, apparently some of the worst waters to cut your teeth on are between England and the rest of Europe. So they became really good at it, deep sea navigation, but not so good with the rivers and waterways. It's where the Vikings came in, the Nords, figuring out how to go through deep water rivers and whatnot, through shallow waters, and eventually learning how to cross things like the Atlantic. Because everything else used to be moved around by foot. It becomes a pain in the butt to move things around by foot. Things get heavy real quick. You got to go through everybody's territory. Everybody wants a piece of what you got, be it the little bits of the spice trade or maybe some of the gold and silver, the doubloons that you're bringing around. And all of these natural barriers, these natural channels cut out or spiked up from the belly of the earth, creating these natural walls, these natural channels, create these areas, create these different living styles and differences from the food that's available, the water that's available, things that you're able to harvest, and things that you, obstacles that you need to overcome, or maybe you don't have to overcome it. Everything works out just fine. One of the examples in the book being the Nile, Egypt. Got desert to the west of you, desert to the right of you, and which way does the Nile flow? North. One way or the other, there's mountains to get to you, and it's a long trek up a waterway to get to you the other way. So they had no real worry about coming in and messing their day up. And so they did things really, really well to a point. Then they stopped because they weren't under any pressure to evolve any further. The book does a much better job of describing that situation. But it's fascinating. You look at the Middle East and sit there and go, why can't these people just get along? Why are there so many warlords out there? Why is there no easy central government? It's because these people have grown up from one mountain valley to another mountain valley. It's their area. They make the rules. And if someone comes over that mountain valley, we're going to mess them up. This is our mountain valley. Until you figure out a good way to trade and balance things out, and then you guys become friends until you're not friends anymore. Kind of the same thing with Russia. You know, we look at Russia on the map, just some giant piece of land. And as an American, you sit there and you think, all of those people are Russian. They're all Russian, just like I'm American. I go from Washington to California to Kansas to Kentucky to Rhode Island, all the way back over to Minnesota. We're all American. We all speak American. Slightly different. Got our own little bits of slang in there. Whether or not we refer to them as freeways, throughways, or interstates, everything's different. Whether it's soda pop, soda, or just pop, or Coke, or Pepsi, how we speak about things. But again, that's America. That's not Russia. Russia being so spread out and a moderately inhospitable place for how cold it gets, how crazy the weather is, and the changing of the terrain from passable in the winter because the ground is frozen solid to impassable in the spring and summer months because of all the rain and having it turn to mud. The people kind of get sectioned off, cordoned off, where you've got some places here in the States where you drive an hour between big cities, maybe 2 hours between big cities, not necessarily 5 hours between big cities unless you go to Wyoming. I think there's, what, 3 cities in Wyoming? Otherwise, there's nothing. High Plains Desert. I love my Americans. I hate Wyoming. Wyoming's boring. You guys can have it. It's a big reason that one's a giant square. No one wants any of that area. I love you, Wyoming. But again, all those people, just slightly different. Dare I bring up the Russians and the Ukrainians? That they're the same, but they're different. They've got just a little bit of different ideas and appeals. Just from kind of how their ancestry was raised. Ignoring the Soviet era. Russia, again, is a smaller kind of Soviet state where everybody in there is Russian. We all agree on the same rules, but we don't agree with everything you say. There's only so much that we put up with. That's why there's the conscription, where everybody's forced to go to war. So that's how Russia does it. Otherwise, if you don't snap these people in place, they're not going to listen to you. These are hardened individuals, people that live in the middle of the icy terrain. Go out there and kill great white bears with their teeth. And also learned about, again, China, going back to China, being not a fully unified country. Sure, China, the government kind of controls everything there, but people in the Southwest are not necessarily the same kind of people as in the Northwest or all along the East or even the Southern coast. There's a lack of infrastructure and ability to go from point A to point B and bring goods and services easily. And so you're just kind of stuck doing what you're doing, being able to harvest what you can and do what you can and living life to the best that you know how to live life. You know, we can want the latest and greatest and the best of the best for everybody, but there's limitations. You can't put power poles along everywhere and can't put solar panels everywhere. You can put windmills lots of places, and as long as you can get the windmills there. And I'm talking about the new electricity generating windmills, not the ones from the Don Quixote age. The Dutch, their wooden shoes, got all those windmills making bread, grinding up the grain. And so when we think about culture, talking to you Americans, yeah, you pompous people, you, love you all, love everybody. But you Americans, take a minute, take a spot to think about where the reason people are the way they are, being there, the terrain that they grow up in, that they've dealt with, their ancestors have dealt with, what kind of struggles that they've had to deal with. You know, we can shake the socioeconomic stick and point it at everybody, every way, shape, and form. Everybody's taken advantage of someone else at some level. But we've all climbed a certain ladder at some point to arrive somewhere. And we're not just built into a vacuum, us Americans, us high and mighty Americans. I will say, though, if you're going to come here to America, plan to speak English, please. This is America. This is the land of the free. We like guns and gold and burr and fast cars. That's what we do here. That's the American way, as well as entrepreneurship and stepping on people. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But we can embrace different cultures. We can see where people have come from, where people are going. And we should take a minute, become just a little bit more worldly and understand why different cultures are kind of the way they are. And for that, I think I'll point you towards the book. It'll be in the show notes. I'll even include the larger two big pictures, the one of the topographical map and the general countries. So you can overlay them, bounce back and forth, zoom in. Really big pictures. Good way to kind of look at everything if you're not going to read the book. Expand your mind. Take a walk. Because I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noauthority.social. I've also got a website, billybones.com. Remember that I spelled with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there you will find a link to show notes, and you'll find links to the past episodes. You'll find a link for Tabletop Woodworks. Finally done with that table. Time to start on new projects. And there's a link that says Value for Value. Because I release this show free of charge, no paywalls, no advertisers, in hopes that you find value out of it, be it the single episode or the entire catalog. And if you did, fantastic. Thank you. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a reason to go check out some mountain ranges and understand why the Middle East is the Middle East. Or the top of the north part of Italy is the shape the way it is. But if you found that this show was worth a monetary amount of value, be it the US dollar or Satoshi's, teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin, I take both. I've got two executive producers today. I'm sorry for last week about calling y'all donors. My apologies. Executive producers was reflected in the show notes. But today's executive producers is $10 from Lady Get Over It. Thank you very much, man. And then Anonymous streaming in 588 Satoshis. Thank you, Anonymous. And to the rest of you, thank you very much for listening. Hopefully, you checked out Modern Podcast Apps. Maybe you came back short enough episode to go through, see it on your Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, see it as it flashes along the screen. Not required viewing, but just something extra, something to make it a little bit more fun. But again, thank you very much for listening. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next week.